Good morning, good afternoon, good night. It's your boy, the legendary Hub, back again with another episode of Positively Spartans. Joined, as always, by both my co-hosts today. Finally, Marcellus Majestic James, my boy, Eric Lane. We are joined by a special guest today, Nick Hammond, a good friend of Lane's. How y'all doing today, gentlemen?
Good, bro. Good, man. What about y'all?
I'm doing amazing, man. I hope everybody had a safe and spectacular spooky season.
Yeah, it went by pretty fast though. It's crazy because like the month of October just like flew by.
I swear, like
just October was literally a blink of an eye.
I feel like just the other day I paid the rent and I gotta pay it again.
Bruh, I paid my rent like a couple days in advance. I was like, bet, like I'm trying to get it out of the way. Yeah. The month coming around quick every month.
And quickly, man. Yeah. Without fail. That's the one thing that's always certain in life is bills.
Unfortunately. That's adulting for you.
Yes, sir. Y'all do anything interesting?
Homework?
Nah, bro.
Yeah, I'm gonna be real. I was in the crib. I made some s'mores, roasted some dogs on the fire. You know what I mean? It was cool. I got chocolate.
I just changed shitty
I got
diapers.
Chocolate wasted, man.
Actually, I went to a Halloween party. I dressed up as Nelly for Halloween.
Oh, you know? Okay. You had the bandage on the eye?
Man, I had the bandage. I had I had everything, bro. I had the Air Force. Well, you know, I had to pull out the Air Force ones. I had that.
Yo, crispy,
I had
on
bro. They was crispy and white, bro. So I did my thing.
That's what's up, man. That's pretty creative, man. I think that's what I like most about Halloween, man. When people can think outside the box and come up with like different costumes other than the norm. Like, because, you know, everybody want to be Black Panther, everybody want to be Superman, all the women want to be Harley Quinn, or they want to be a cat or a police officer. You know what I mean? Same things every year. But, you know what I mean? You got people with that creative mindset. You can, like, come up with them creative mindsets. You can come up with different costumes, man. I love it.
Yeah. What's some of the best ones y'all seen this year?
The best one I've seen. There was a couple who were, I don't know if y'all anime fans, Marcellus would get this one, but they were Rock Lee and Kakashi. The two anime characters from Naruto. It was pretty dope, man, because Shorty had the bowl cut and everything.
Oh, that's crazy. I saw this funny one. It was a dad and his daughter, and the daughter was dressed up as the dad.
And the dad was dressed as the daughter? Like,
oh, man.
Everything. I was weird.
That's pretty funny, man. It's always nice to see those, you know, family costumes, too. That's pretty good.
But I seen a Proud Family. The Proud Family?
Which character?
Yeah. All of them. It was a whole family.
Oh, wow.
I think Fabulous did that, I think, like 2 years ago. You know, he always be having the best costume suit.
Yeah, right.
Right.
I seen this one costume from our Rush Hour, and it was like the one dude was Chris Tucker, and the other girl, the girl was the Chinese
one. Yeah, like, I saw that one too, man. That was
Yo, that was dope. It was hella creative because I've never seen that before.
Right. Mm-hmm. I love the internet, man, because, you know what I mean? It's like stuff like that we wouldn't have got to see a couple years ago, you know what I mean?
Not at all, man. Right. But everything's literally on social media, like Twitter, everything. Facebook, Instagram. You're going to see everything.
Yeah, I love Twitter, man. I ain't going front.
It's the best.
I feel like
it's social media,
best
bro.
In my opinion. But honestly.
Yeah.
Man, how y'all been, though, man? Like, it's been a minute since we all been on the line together, man. How's everything on the home front, gentlemen? Oh, don't all speak at once now.
I got it. So I'm pretty stoked because we just got approved for like all our holiday leaves.
Nice.
Because we've been pretty much stuck since March. We haven't been able to travel outside the state or anything like that.
Is that due to COVID?
My son since January, so I'm pretty happy to go see him in for Thanksgiving.
Is that due to COVID you weren't able to leave?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty dope, man. You headed back home?
Nah, I'm going to Texas. I'll be there for like 2 weeks.
Oh, okay. Right,
yeah, me. Texas.
So y'all gonna link
without me, bro? Hit me up.
Yeah, you come see your your nephew.
For sure. Man, I'm glad to hear that, though, man, because, you know, to me, one of the hardest things about the military was being away from your family all the time. So, you know what I mean, you getting an opportunity, you know, take leave, go be with your son and everything, man, that's beautiful.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
How EJ doing, my man?
That's dope. Man, he doing well, bro. October was pretty shitty, bro, to say the least. Not to get all dark, but
that's fact.
I told you I had lost one of my best friends.
For sure,
man.
For sure. Our condolences. Yeah, man. Our condolences.
All praise up. For real, yeah, for real.
So, it's always hard. So October, it's been pretty rough, man, to say the least. But you know, looking forward to November and finishing the year with a bang.
Still here, my brother.
So
still here.
I like that, man.
Yeah, and I appreciate y'all as well, man. You know, sending me little memes during the day and just checking on me, like that did a lot for me, whether y'all know it or not.
It's great to hear that.
Yeah, man.
That's what brotherhood is about.
Facts. I was just about to say that. You know what I mean, everybody help each other. You know what I mean, man sharpen man, like steel sharpens. Man sharpens man, like steel sharpens steel. Woo, that was tough. I'm glad your spirits are a little lifted, my brother. I mean, it's always tough. I mean, losing somebody who was close with. I mean, all I can do is offer my condolences, man. And just you already know I'm here for you, dog.
Likewise, brother. What about you, man? You been doing straight?
Man, I'm gonna be real, man. It's been up and down.
I saw your little Facebook status, man.
I gotta unplug every now and again because. No, the depression, man, it hits. Sometimes it hits like Mike Tyson. I mean, and sometimes it hits just like a straight jab. But lately, it's been hitting a little bit like Mike Tyson. But I'm back in the groove, man. You know, getting my motivation back in the gym, trying to get on my beast mode. So, you know what I mean, everything's great. Family's good. So I can't really complain, man. I've been hunting the good stuff. Man, that resilience. You got to hunt the good stuff, man, because. I was thinking to myself today as I was driving back from the gym, and it was like for every one thing that's wrong in your life, there's ten other things that are going great that you're not even thinking about because you're focusing just on the negative.
Amen. Amen.
You know what I mean? And that's one thing I always gotta remember, man. And my peoples came through this weekend, so shout out to Tron and Adoria. Thank y'all for that. So it was a very good weekend, man. So I'm good. I'm in great spirits. Happy to be talking to y'all today.
Hey, that's a bad bro. What about you, Nick?
I just been grinding right now. You know, working, being a teacher, being on the grade level chair, just making sure that I'm focused. Trying to keep my mental health intact. You know, being at work from home has been kind of difficult. Every single day, I have to literally make a to-do list for myself, whether it's getting up, hitting the gym. Still making sure that I'm presenting my best self for these kids.
Absolutely.
Should be kind of hard.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely, man. That's got to be super challenging, man. I mean, because you're a role model, you know what I mean? And every day, you know what I mean, there's a kid looking up to you as a hero, man. So more props to you, man, for fighting through it and admitting it, because not a lot of us can admit it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you're like echoing.
Yeah, it sounds a little weird. You echo now all of a sudden.
Let me go back out and go in. And see what
for sure. Do your thing. Do your thing. We'll connect right quick.
All
right. While he's doing that, gentlemen, what was I going to ask y'all? Oh, how y'all like them t-shirts, man?
Boy.
Hey, they dope, bro.
Yes, sir. For sure. So for the listeners, we definitely going to get some made for y'all. We're in the process right now. We just had to talk prices and everything just to get them made and how many we're going to get made. Also, shout out to the listeners, man. We almost had 5,000 plays, gentlemen.
Wow.
Wow is another, like, bro, I was amazed. Because I did not, you know what I mean? When I started this, I did not think it would be where it is today. And honestly, I am grateful for each and every one of y'all that's listening. And I'm grateful for you, gentlemen.
Hey, for sure, bro. We appreciate the invitation to have us, the co-host, man.
Let's see, Nick, you back connected, man? Everything copacetic?
I'm back, you heard me?
Absolutely. Yeah, it sounds way better, man. It was a little echo.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on.
It's all good, man. It happens, technical difficulties.
It's the paradox because it's two deep voices in one chat.
They're not ready for that, though. They ain't ready.
Yeah, man, it's not a frequency. It's not a frequency. I'm the fool.
Nah, literally.
Yo, wow, man. Look, I don't know about you, Nick, but I've been getting jokes about my voice since like age 11, man.
Oh, nah. My started literally maybe high school, but I think it got deeper throughout these years. I don't know what happened, but yeah, I feel like in college, yeah, bro. I like this.
Now, it's a pretty good segue, uh-huh. though, because, I mean, you got the deep voice, and now it'll lead us into, tell us exactly what it is that you do. So you kind of spoke on to it a little bit, how, correct me, chairman?
So I'm the grade level chair of second grade. So pretty much, kind of give you a little background about myself. I'm from New Jersey. I was born and raised in New Jersey. Growing up, I was pretty much exposed to a lot of white people. So growing up, I was in schools with a lot of people that were, you know, Caucasian. I would be like the only black kid in class in like the third grade. So as time went on, maybe like middle school, it started to become like more black kids. But I always knew that, you know, I was talented and I wanted to be able to be around other black successful people. So, you know, I went to University of Maryland, Eastern Shore. My father really influenced me to go away to HBCU because, again, all my life I had been going to school with all white people. So it was a lot of different things that I saw, like just white people cussing they parents out, you know, like stuff that black people don't allow.
Yeah, that would not fly.
You know, them, period. Yeah, they don't play that. They don't play none of that. So, you know, I went to college, whatever, at UMass, and I think it was probably one of the best decisions I would have made was to go away to HBCU, going to just leaving New Jersey, leaving my comfort zone. So, you know, I was able to major in sociology and social work, and I did a dual degree major with Salisbury University. So I was literally doing two colleges at one time. As crazy as it sounds, I was like traveling back and forth. Salisbury University was maybe like 30, 35 minutes away from Eastern Shore. So I was going back and forth, and yeah, man, I was able to pass and get both of my degrees at the same time, which was a pretty dope feeling.
That's amazing. That's amazing, bro.
Thank you, man. I mean, I don't think I got the master's in me, but I'm good. So long story short, I mean, I'm about to get a little deep. So, you know, I graduated college, whatever, and I couldn't find a job coming out. Like, I was literally broke as shit. I ain't had no money. And I'm like, yo, I went all the way to college for this. So I started selling cars at CarMax for a little minute. And, you know, it was cool. I was able to learn a little bit about cars and learn about the engine, transmission, kind of like the ins and outs. And don't get me wrong, it was a kind of a cool job for me to test drive all the new cars. Like, it was dope. But I was realizing that, okay, like, I didn't go to school for this. I didn't go to school to sell cars. So then I started my first teaching job, kind of, but it was with autistic kids. And that was rough, man, because these kids were abusive. Like, I would get my ass beat literally every day at work. Like, they would be kicking me, man. Like, and they wasn't mad at me per se, but, you know, it was the population. So I would be putting these kids in therapeutic holds, and I'm like, yeah, like, this ain't for me. So around this time now, I'm like 25 years old. I'm 28 now, but for some reason, I had a goal in mind, like, all right, like, I want to move by myself. So I moved by myself to somewhere in New Jersey. And then I moved by myself in Jersey, and I failed tremendously. Like, I think I liked the idea of me moving by myself. But what happened was, I think I thought about it like I was in college again. So I was like, bam, like, I got my own crib. I'm trying to party. I'm trying to drink. I'm trying to turn up. But I wasn't maintaining my apartment. So I failed. I got my car repoed two times. I wasn't paying the rent. And that was like the lowest part of my life because I really set a goal to move on myself, and I failed. You know, it was embarrassing to come outside one day and like not have my car being there. And it happened twice. And listen, I don't wish that feeling on nobody.
Shit, hell no.
And at that time, like, it's so crazy because, you know, my mental has changed. But in that time, I'm like, yo, like, what is there to live for? Like, I'm failing. I went away to college. Like, I'm not doing what I need to be doing. Like, I thought I had suicidal thoughts. I ain't gonna lie to you. But so long story short, I was able to go back to my parents' house, and I moved back to my parents' house. But in that time, I was able to get a new job. and I was able to become a reading teacher in Philly. I did that for about 2.5 years. But in that time, you know, I felt stagnant as well. I felt stagnant. I was living with my parents. I still kind of felt like I'm not living my potential right now. Like I moved out, I failed. Now I'm back at home. I'm back at square one. Like I'm back at how I was before I even went to college. Mm. So I kind of felt like the high school Nick all over again. So now we're in 2018 now. And, you know, I went to Costa Rica for my birthday in December. And, you know, I was talking to my friends about like some things that I wanted to be able to achieve for the following year, which was 2019. And I was like, you know what? I want to continue teaching, but I want to move away to the DMV. And the DMV's always shown me love. I have a lot of friends there. Went to college in Eastern Shore, although like people consider it like not being Maryland, but shit, I don't know. Like I'm not from Maryland, so I thought, okay, like I'm in the DMV, but I really wasn't. So yeah, man, like I went to Costa Rica. I talked to my friends, and we just had so many discussions about like goals and aspirations, and that's one thing I really enjoy about my friends, that like, okay, we can have a good time together, we can be able to, you know, turn up and talk about whatever, but I like that we're still able to talk about goals. Absolutely. And I think that in this day and age in my life, like, you know, I don't want no party friends. I want my friend to be, you know, friends. We can talk about business. We can talk about life. We can talk about things that we want to do in the future. Growth and the growth mindset. Like, that's all I want to throw myself around. So I was able to get back home after my Costa Rica trip. And I was looking at some jobs on Indeed literally every single day. Like I was at my other job applying for jobs. I was at home applying for jobs. Like I was really on my grind, really just focusing. So, you know, I never forget this one day. I got an email from the KIPP DC recruiter. And, you know, she emailed me and we had like a phone conversation. This was maybe around like December 20th. So around this time, you know, they were gearing up to go to Christmas break and New Year's Eve. So, you know, the hiring lady, she told me that, you know, we would touch base, you know, after the New Year. So, you know, she fulfilled her promise and she reached out to me maybe like the first week in January. And I had to like, you know, do a few things before I had my interview. And I'll never forget, I had my interview on January 28th at KPC. And that day was really special to me because J. Cole is my favorite rapper, and he got a song called January 28th, as y'all probably know.
My man.
Yeah, so I remember being in the car blasting that song with my shirt and my tie on, and I'm smiling. I'm like, yo, I'm going to kill this shit. I'm gonna get this job. So I remember, yeah, man, I was able to have the interview. A few weeks later, I got the job, and the rest is history. I was able to move here June 1st, 2019. And when I say I'm proud of myself, like it's like an understatement because
you have all the right to be, bro.
Yeah, man. Like I told y'all about my struggles in 2017 and like the fact that I struggled that time and then I was able to move here. But to be honest with you, I'm really appreciative of that struggle that I had in 2017.
Absolutely.
Because it made me so much better when I came here and, you know, in the DMV area. So I mean, you know, last year was my first year at KBC. I crushed it. I went in with an open mind. I was able to gain a lot of relationships with the families and the kids and really just kind of put my best foot forward because I know that one thing about me is I want to make a positive difference in every single kid's life that I come in encounter with. So I was able to finish off the year with 29 kids. They were pulling the other kids out of their room to put it in my classroom. I guess they saw like the report that I had with the rest of the kids and, you know, my test scores and things like that. And then, you know, unfortunately, you know, the pandemic happened around March. So then we had to stop, going to school in person.
Right.
So then, you know, we did kind of a virtual, class maybe like twice a week, but you know, everything was so sudden that nobody really had a plan in place. So, you know, towards the end of the school year, my principal, she's really dope, man. She really advocates for, you know, the Black people. And she's an African American lesbian woman. And she was able to, you know, she just has a great bond with everybody at KIPP.
Yeah.
My job is full of African-American men and women who really just make a difference in the student's life. So she reached out to me maybe sometime in June, and she asked me that I'll, you know, want to become the grade level chair in the following year. And I was very honored because, again, I started last year at KIPP, and now I'm the grade level chair. So it really just makes me feel honored and happy that someone thought so highly of me to give me such an important job, even though I've been there for a short amount of time.
Man, it just shows the great impact that you have. You know what I mean? In such a short time that you can show your potential and then the growth that you've had with your students, man. It's well deserved, man. Don't sell yourself short, man. Sometimes greatness don't take long.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, I thank you for that, man, because I really have worked hard to get where I am. And
sure.
Sometimes I still walk in my apartment. I'm like, yo, like, I'm really proud of myself. Like, I made it. I got out of my funk. I was able to accomplish so much and learn so much about myself being out of this area. Like, I've been able to really just hone in on my goals and what I want in my life. And I'm actually have a vision board in my house. And
nice.
I write down some inspirational quotes, and I put them on my wall. So every single day when I wake up, I have pretty much a routine. Like, I go outside, I run, I walk, and I come back, and I watch like these little inspirational videos on YouTube, maybe from like Denzel Washington,
okay,
or Will Smith, or, you know, anybody. And you know, just different quotes that they really say in the videos that can really resonate with anybody.
Man, people really underestimate, you know, the simple powers of affirmative, positive affirmations. You know what I'm saying? Just hearing that and feeling that energy, even though it's through the YouTube screen, man, it has such an impact. And then the fact that you have, you know what I mean, your schedule, and it involves that as well as, you know, physical fitness, bro, mind, body, sound, man, you're putting it all together.
Man, I got to, man, because again, with this pandemic going on, man, like, although it's been a lot of negatives to it, but it's been a lot of pros as far as like really just
for
being
sure
in touch with yourself. And
for
I feel
sure
like I'm sure y'all probably feel the same exact way with, like, you know, when you in the house, like, it's like, what else you got to do besides like think about what you can do to become better?
Right.
Man, thank you.
For sure, bro. You
feel
you're
me
in the right group right here, man, because that's exactly how we feel. That's exactly how we feel. 2020, man, it's been a hell of a year. You know what I mean? That's nothing short of that. But it's also been a very blessing year, man. It's getting in touch with yourself is so imperative, man, because if you don't know yourself, how can you give your best self forward? You know what I mean? How can you put your best self forward if you don't even know who you are yet?
Absolutely. A lot of people, you know, struggle with, you know, their own demons, unfortunately.
For sure. I'm one of them. I'll admit it.
and we all do. Like, sometimes we feel like we shitty. Sometimes we feel like, you know, we not all the way together. But then, you know, you gotta also be your own best friend in those moments too. Like, you know what? Like, even if I have a bad day, like, I ain't about to let this bad day make me feel like I have a bad life. And just really, just like take the good with the bad. Like, even for me, I pray every single day, and I also really speak those affirmations to the world, because, you know, right now there's somebody in the hospital fighting for their life. There's mm-hmm. somebody right now who don't have their limbs working and they're paralyzed and they can't move.
Right.
And right now we're blessed with the opportunity to be on this podcast. We talking,
right,
we moving, we really living life. And some people right now, they don't have the opportunity to live their life right now. So every single day I'm in this world, man, as long as I can give out my positive impact to people, if I can send out my, right, I send daily quotes to everybody that I love and care about every single morning. Every single day. And like, I do that because if I'm seeing something that's, I think, is impactful, I want my people to see that as well. I've never been no selfish person, so I'm like, okay, like, I saw this quote today, I think that it'll be resonating with everybody, because we all going through something, even if nobody don't know it. Everybody's going through something.
Absolutely. Everybody's fighting a battle. It's not really front and center, you know what I mean? So who are we to judge?
Absolutely. So, I mean, that's a little bit of myself, man. But again, 2020 has really just opened up my eyes. And again, although it's been kind of a lot of downs, I've been able to really just become greater in every single aspect of my life. And although I said being greater, but I'm not even where I am right now. God got greater plans for me.
Absolutely.
So I think it's great right now, but I'm speaking into existence. Like, it's going to be even better than I even imagined. So I just try to keep that in the back of my mind.
Absolutely, my brother. I mean, it's amazing, man. Your story is definitely inspirational, man, because, I mean, you didn't take the losses. You made them lessons. You know what I'm saying? I think that's the most important part, I mean, of going through life, because we're all gonna fall on our face. We're all going to fail. I mean, it's evident in your story. It's evident in my story and anybody else who tells a story. You have to fail in order to succeed. And the fact that you were able to, you know, bounce back so many times, bro, I commend you, man. That's definitely inspiration.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. But, I mean, I appreciate y'all fellas for, you know, allowing me to share my story, because I would consider myself a private person in some regards. I mean, I'm very social, as everybody knows me, but I feel like certain things I don't talk to about, I don't say, because it's not really everybody's business. But in the same breath, you know, I'm thankful to share my journey, because without my journey, I wouldn't be who I am.
Absolutely.
Right now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It builds your character, who you are today. Absolutely. Now, I wanted to ask you, so you said you went back home a couple times. Do you feel as if, like, if you would have stayed home, because you said you went back home, but you always felt like you needed to leave in order to be greater. Do you feel like if you would have just stayed home, like everything would have been different?
Absolutely. I feel like my life would have been way different. We probably wouldn't have been on this podcast.
Yeah, I feel that. I definitely feel that. Because I can resonate with that, because I feel the same way about my hometown. Like, I got so much love for it, and I love what's going on down there right now. But in order for me to be successful, I had to leave. So I definitely feel you on that.
Absolutely. And, like, you know, a few weeks ago, I went home. I hadn't been home since June. My mom ended up catching corona. So, my mom, she really, like, wasn't allowing me to come home. I was stressing about it, because, you know, I was seeing everything on the news with, you know, people passing for corona. And I was like, yo, like, if I lose my mom, I don't know what I'm
going to
do.
Right, for sure.
So, but I just stayed prayed up, and, you know, she did everything she needed to do to get better. So, but I started to say, like, you know, when I went to New Jersey, you know, a few weeks ago, you know, it was a really good time. You know, I enjoyed myself and my family, but at the same time, it's nothing like having your own.
For sure.
I can always go back and visit New Jersey and appreciate what New Jersey has done for me, because New Jersey really has molded me into who I am today. But at the same time, if I would have stayed in New Jersey, I don't think that I would have had the same opportunities as I have right now, especially being at you know, in the New Jersey area. It is kind of whitewashed, and there is a lot of there's not much opportunities for Black people as it is out in the DC area.
A lot of gentrification up that way.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Where's the guy too? Man, New York got wiped out.
Yeah, man, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Brooklyn is gentrified.
Yeah, it's super white, but it's always been like that. It's always been a white area, and I've always known that. So I feel like when I finally moved to another state, I mean, of course, you know, it was rough for me, because I did have a really good group of kids at my last school. So I remember that day, and I had to leave them, and they was crying, and they were asking me, like, would I see them again? And of course I told them I would see them again. But, you know, sometimes I think about it, like, man, like, I had to walk away from something I was comfortable with to be uncomfortable, to get comfortable.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Totally sense.
Like, I had to really like walk away and be like, all right, Nick, like, if you want to make this kind of money, if you want to make this kind of impact, then you need to move away to a different city. And, you know, take your talents elsewhere, because I feel like at the same time, like, being out here has really made me a better person, a better teacher, a better friend, a better everything, because I live here by myself. Like, you know, I have nothing but time to think about ways that I can improve every single day.
Get the time to reflect.
Cool. Yeah. So to answer your question, like, if I stayed at home, nah, I think that I would have just been stagnant, and I think that I would have lived with the woulda, shoulda, coulda, saying, like, okay, I want to move away, but I can't. But I feel like I don't want to live my life like that. And a lot of people fall in that trap of being too comfortable somewhere else, or with people relationships, and then with living somewhere where you're comfortable, but then you're afraid to kind of flap your wings. And flapping my wings has gotten me to a greater destiny and a greater position. So right now, I just want to be on the up and up and just be better for myself, be better for everybody, and especially for these kids, because I really love these children every single day. I think that one thing about being a teacher that's really rewarding to me is seeing the joy in their faces every single day when you see them, you know, they're giving you hugs, and especially being that black man, yeah, in their life, you know. Unfortunately, you know, I teach in the D.C. area, Southeast, and there is a lot of kids who don't have their fathers around. So I feel like I played that role of being like a father, being the friend, being the therapist, being everybody.
Representation matters, man.
Absolutely. And it's really a joy just to see that, you know, kids really learn more from you, like when you look like them. When they can relate to you. So a lot of times, like, you know, I come in and I have like my Jordans on and my Nikes on and my hoodies, and they'd be so amazed. I'm thinking like, well, this is me. Like, right. this is me. And like, you know, they see me. But typically, when you think of a second grade teacher, you don't think of a black man that has tattoos, that, you know, that's has swag. Like, you don't think about that. You think about a white woman that's older. So I think that in this generation, I'm so blessed to be able to see other educators that are, you know, really just breaking down that stereotype. And I feel like being an educator is such an important job, so impactful. And I've been able to learn so much from other individuals out here. And even back when I was, you know, teaching in the Philadelphia area, because it's so important for kids to understand, like, you know, I can be anybody that I want to be. If I want to be a teacher, I can. If I want to be a doctor, I can. If I want to be a basketball player, I can. If I want to be a singer, I can be. So I always let my kids know, like, don't let nobody tell you you can't be.
For sure.
Like, so ironically, and I'll never forget about this. So I remember I was teaching a lesson about Martin Luther King. This was a few years, maybe like 2 years ago. And it was the part where, you know, you're talking about like the color of their skin. So I remember this little boy raised his hand and he was like, if I could change my skin color to be white, I would. And in that moment, I had to get out of teacher mode and just jump into my own self. And I was like, you know, why do you feel that way? And he was like, you know, I feel like white people have more stuff, more opportunities, and, you know, they seem like they're better. So I was like, you know, don't ever feel like just because the color of your skin is going to make you be less than who you are. Like, you're a little black boy and you have so much life ahead of you that you can be able to do anything. So don't ever feel like a certain race is better than you or more superior. So, you know, I told him that. And mind you, this little boy is in first grade at the time. So at the end of the day, he comes up to me and he's like, Mr. Hammond, I just wanted to say sorry. And at this point, like, you know, the day is kind of over. I didn't even remember, like, not saying I didn't remember what happened, but I wasn't thinking about that, what he said. And I said, about what? He was like, for saying that white people are better. Like, I can be anything pop on my mind to. So, you know, that moment really sticks with me, man, because these little kids and a lot of people have an image about what they can't be because of what they see on the media or what's in front of them, what's surface. So I always, like, as a teacher, I want to let kids know, like, you can do anything you put your mind to. And I always want to make sure that kids feel comfortable around me, even not even just me teaching with kids, but kids in general. Like, I want you to feel like your most authentic self and just be you. And I want every single kid that I teach to feel as though they have a purpose in this world. Because somebody may be telling them they don't have a purpose, or, you know, there's a lot that goes on behind closed doors that I don't see. So I make sure that every single day I'm uplifting them. I'm giving them icebreaker questions to make them think. I'm you know, complimenting them. I'm you know, showing them love. You know, just doing all things because I want to, not because I'm forcing it, because I feel like
you have to because it's your job.
I feel like,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're making the impact. You're making an impact out of pure generosity. You know what I mean? And that's where it's most pure, because there's no benefit for you. You're doing it for the benefit of somebody else. Exactly.
It's coming from the heart. Yeah, bro. Do you feel like the distance learning, it kind of makes you not be as engaged or as involved as you want to be?
Not at all. I think that being that I am a genuine person, and you know, I understand the circumstances going on. You know, I just have to step outside of myself and be like, okay, although these kids are in front of the computer, I still have to make it the best engaging classroom possible. So I mean, just by like, just by constantly letting them know, like, okay, guys, I understand we're home right now. I know I said this is different, but we're gonna get through this. Like, just kind of giving them that words of affirmation that it's gonna be okay. I'm also, you know, spend a lot of time playing games with them. So playing games like a Kahoot. A lot of times I do scavenger hunts with them. I have them like go around the house and like find something that's the color blue, and I have them show up to the camera. And you know, I've done like Pictionary with them before, like have them draw me a picture, you know, like just different like movement breaks to have them kind of like, okay, step outside of the education room and, you know, do something fun.
Yeah, that sounds like a difficult task though, bro, honestly, because you're trying to keep kids engaged, and everyone knows that kids, they don't have a long attention
span. Right, you're not even physically there, so. That's pretty
impressive.
Man, that's a challenge for sure.
Pretty dope, man.
Yeah. So,
do you think the kids have a hard time understanding the lesson distance learning opposed to actually being in person? Like, do you think it has an impact on how they're on their grades or anything?
Actually, no. I think that, you know, I think that my job does a really good job of implementing a curriculum that is vigorous, but something that kids are able to understand. So although it could be challenging, but there are so many different apps that they have currently on the computer that makes them like learn. There's something called Nearpod that they get on, and they're just like they're doing math. You know, have different applications called Reading A through Z where they're on and are reading. I mean, so there's so many different tools that students are using currently to make them successful. I mean, of course, like the ideal situation would be for students to be inside the classroom and learning. However, right now, you know, everybody experiencing this, like, it's not just here, it's everybody worldwide. So, you know, until everything kind of gets settled, you know, right now, this is going to be the new norm. So it's something that we have to get used to. And, you know, I'm not gonna lie to you, you know, the first 2 weeks of school, I was like, yo, like, I didn't sign up for this. I didn't sign up to teach from my home. I didn't. But, you know, I have to really, again, like step outside of myself and understand, like, it's not about me. It's about these kids, and these kids have to learn either way, like whether that's online, whether that's in person. So, again, I just need to present my best self for them to let them know, like, okay, guys, like we are home, but like, you're still going to learn. You're still going to be successful. You're going to go to third grade. You're going to go to middle school. You're going to go to high school. You're going to go to college. Like, just still letting them know, like, okay, like this is not going to stunt your growth. But a lot of times it's not even about the kids, it's about the parents. You know, you have a lot of parents that are not really active. So it kind of makes things harder as a teacher to help a student when they're not really getting help at home for their parents. And, you know, there's only but so much I can be able to do. Like, I teach my students from 9 o'clock to 2:30. So, I mean, but aside from that, when I'm not with them, you know, I can't teach them. So it's up to the parents to kind of meet me halfway. And thankfully, I have a lot of good parents that I currently deal with that really just we work together as a team to make sure each student is doing the right thing. Right,
both parties have the best interests in mind.
Absolutely.
So all teachers.
Sound like you need a pay raise, brother. All teachers.
So man, tell me about it.
What's your later goal? Do you want to continue teaching? Do you coach any sports? Like, what's your Nick Hammond dream job?
I mean, if it's up to me, I'll be active.
Mr. Big Dream.
You know it. It's like, nah. But you know, I'm really inspired by, you know, LeBron James opening up the Promise School, so I wouldn't even mind opening up my own school one day. I think that'd be a good goal for mine to have, was to open up my own school. You know, before that, of course, a lot of things that would need to be done, you know, having a vision for the school, you know, figuring out the location, really kind of getting the brand up and running. So, you know, that takes a little bit while, but I know that it's not too hard to achieve. I also
don't be like Dr. Umar Johnson, man.
Please don't
play that. Man, look, I'm not even right now. I'm not even gonna comment.
Yeah, a little much. A
little bit like, donations.
But no, but so in my last school, also like a basketball club for the kids. So it also was a space for kids to go to after school to kind of play basketball and kind of just unwind. So I was doing that too. I definitely think I would love to create my own school, or if I didn't create my own school, I wouldn't mind being the principal of a school one day. So I'm matter of fact, I'm gonna speak, I will be a principal one day.
Go ahead and manifest it.
Hell yeah, bro.
Yeah, so
you can definitely do it, bro. You got the
vision. Yeah, so I definitely will do that. But again, it takes a lot of you know, a lot more hard work, but I know that it will be achievable and attainable in due time. I just have to kind of get more years under my belt with like being under classroom. And now that I'm in this leadership position, I have to be able to kind of have more experience with that first before, you know, I just jump ahead and be a principal, which I definitely understand. You know, it takes some time to be able to get to that level.
The journey is all part of the process. So with your new position, is there any other extra duties that come with it?
So pretty much I'm in charge of the whole staff of second grade. I have to conduct meetings every single day. Pretty much I'm just in charge of making sure they know exactly what they need to be doing. I have to make sure that different messages get relayed from the vice principal. I have to be able to give them the information. I feel like a lot of it is really just relaying a lot of information to them and just making sure everybody's on one accord. Make sure everybody's prepared for their work day daily. If there are any changes, just really making sure that I'm giving to them. So I literally talk all day, and I'm already a talker as it is, but sometimes I'm like, damn, I got to talk to y'all. I got to talk to the staff, and I got to talk to the kids. So it'd be, man. And the parents too, man. Like, be like, damn, like. But yeah, I got to just pretty much just talk to, you know, a lot of the families and the my staff every single day. You know, I make sure that I'm giving them positive feedback, and I'm always making sure that they feel valued and they know exactly that I'm here for them. Like, I never liked those type of people who got into a leadership position and kind of changed them as a person. That's never gonna be me. Mm-hmm. So I'm still myself. Of course, I'm professional, but I always make myself known to, you know, be approachable. So they need something from me. They have a question. I never want them to feel as though they can't.
Yeah,
they can't
leading your own way, so. Your own leadership style.
That's the best way. Absolutely. You're 28, right? So being that you're a grade level leader, I mean, I imagine a lot of people that you have to lead are older than you. Was that a challenge? Like, did you get some pushback from that, or?
Mm. Actually, no. I mean, I have. You know, my team is people that are older than me. It's people that are a little bit younger than me. So I feel like it's not really, you know, pushback. I think that everybody just kind of respects each other. So I mean, even in our meetings, I mean, sometimes I let people have their downtime and then like talk about, you know, normal stuff, because, you know, although we're teachers, we don't always just want to talk about teaching. I always want to talk about the kids. Like, you know, it's other stuff to talk about. So I have to make sure that everybody just, you know, feels like we're all equal. Like, just because I'm a grade level chair doesn't mean that I'm above you, although my position is. But I don't want it to come off as if I am the superior and they're below me. So I like for everybody to kind of feel as though like we're on the same level. We're all teachers at the end of the day, and we all have a mission in life. And our mission is to make sure that these kids are learning and being
one band, one sound.
Hey, man, drum
line, man, that's dope, man. That was actually a pretty good question, myself. So I didn't. Hey, that's not something I would have thought of.
That's why we all here.
Y'all getting me left and right. I'm just coming prepared. I'm just like, man, what you got next?
Oh man, no, it's definitely refreshing. I mean, to hear somebody of your stature be in that role and have that impact, and know that it's happening flawlessly, man. Because you know sometimes things do happen. You know, people they don't like to see us in those certain positions. So to hear that you're able to have that scotch-free is pretty dope, man.
Thank you, man. If I can inspire the next generation,
that's exactly how I feel, brother. We're here to prepare the next generation for the future.
So everything we do counts. Everything we say counts. Everything we put out on social media counts.
That's why I really appreciate you saying that story of how you handled your student, asking, you know, making that statement about his skin color, man. Because that's a great impact right there. Because you never know, he could follow in your footsteps, be a teacher, and one of his students might say the same thing, and now he knows exactly how to handle that. You know, thanks to you, because he's been in that situation before. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And then one thing about teachers, like, you know, we're always gonna make that positive impact. Like I'm sure y'all probably name maybe two or three teachers y'all had in your life. You know, something about teachers, like, you know, we're always gonna be in people's hearts forever. Like you're not gonna forget what you learned from your teacher, or like different things your teacher told you, or different memories you had with your teacher, different activities you did. So I always wanted to be that teacher that kids can really just rely on and be like, okay, like, this is my best teacher that I've had. I had a kid that texted me a few weeks ago. I taught him in Philly a few years ago, and he texted me. He was like, you know, Mr. Hammond, I miss you. And it's like, wow, like, you know, I taught you about two years ago, and you're texting me saying you miss me. So that really makes me feel good, because, you know, I gave the kids my phone number before I left, because I had a really good bond with them, and I just make sure they used it when they needed to. Like, you know, we're not friends, I'm friendly with you, but, you know, if you ever need me, if you want to reach out to me, you can.
That's crucial. That's crucial, because like you said, you're a role model, man. Now,
absolutely.
Before we go, man, is there anything you want to leave with the audience? Maybe a little nugget, motivational quote, or thought of the night?
Ooh, I got a lot of them.
What's the one from today?
No. All right, so I have one that I've written down, and it says, mindset is everything. Lead with context, reflect, observe, and analyze. So that's a really good one. I wrote it down and I put it on my wall. So
I like that. That's really good one, man. Now, definitely. Go ahead.
And also, I want to let y'all, thank y'all for allowing me to come on today. I haven't done a podcast for a little while, so I appreciate this safe place we can be able just to converse and talk about multiple topics and topics.
Absolutely, man. So we appreciate you for coming on, man. Like I said, your story was inspirational. I mean, you sound like a really great dude, my man. Like, with everything you're doing, I wish nothing but success for it, my brother.
Thank you, guys. It's going to be successful for all of us.
You know, the guys know, man, manifest. Let them manifest it. That's my word. I love it. Because, I mean, you got to speak it out into the universe.
Always.
Now, Lane, you think you can do the outro, or you need me to handle it?
Hey, I'm gonna let you handle it, but Nick, I appreciate you coming on, bro. And like we talked last month when we talked via phone, I'm proud of you and your accomplishments, brother. So keep doing your thing, man, and hopefully see you.
Oh, most definitely, brother. Thank you for being a great friend. You've been my brother since 2010. We met at UMS and we still riding, bro. You ain't going nowhere.
I love to hear that, man. Love it.
Facts, bro. Definitely, man.
Hey. Got you.
Hey, you can close out. I'm good, bro.
Before everybody goes, make sure y'all go out and vote. I don't care who you're voting for. Just make sure you go out and vote and make a difference. Because if you ain't voting, then you really can't complain on social media. Right? Until then, my peoples, positivity, prosperity. Peace.